that they would not have done otherwise. They would be afraid to do. People will push the limits of all sorts of things when they're drunk. Apparently, these men did just that. And so they died before the Lord, so the scripture says. Then there's another story, and that's the story of Uzzah and the ark in 2 Samuel 6 and 6. Verse 7 is also included there. What happened was that King David decided that he was going to move the ark toward the city of Jerusalem. In doing so, he came up with an invention, apparently, of his own heart. He decided that it would honor God for him to build a new cart and to transport the ark of God upon that cart of wood with the oxen. And so they went about it, and one fellow that was involved in that process was a fellow by the name of Uzzah. Eventually, the text tells us it was a rocky area, and so as they moved the ark, when the oxen stumbled, the ark tipped over, and he grabbed it to hold it and keep it from striking the ground. And God struck him and killed him. Once again, there's no doubt as to the source of his death. He did not die of a premature heart attack or something like that. He died because God smote him and killed him. God was the source. God was offended, don't you see? God was offended when David and his friends committed a presumptuous sin. He presumed to do something different from the way God said to do it. And the result was catastrophic for Uzzah. He was dead. That simple. And so God had devised a means previously to transport the ark. It was to be transported upon the shoulders of the priest. God had said so. He had told them precisely what to do. He had not given a list of all the options there. He did not say, thou shalt not build a new cart and put it behind oxen or horses or anything like that. There is nothing like that in the text. All God did was just told them what to do, period, end of discussion. And that's the point. God was silent on the so-called cart question. That's all there was to it. He was silent. He said nothing. And because one presumed upon it, he died. We should learn a lesson from that. We should learn a lesson from all of this. It should be the lesson that we should not walk the same path that these walked before and died at the hand of God. It got them killed. Why would we want to do the same thing and perhaps reap the same result? And so let's make a few points on that count. Modern religious practices often, in like fashion, presume upon the silence of God in the scriptures. It is very often the case that this happens. Let me offer a few illustrations of this point. Sprinkling and pouring for baptism. Did you know that historians will tell you, and I have heard Catholic professors admit it, that until the 12th century, people were immersed for forgiveness of their sins. I've heard them admit it. And of course they would, because it's just all over your New Testament. The evidence is there on every page. But they will say that in the early centuries, there were cases where people became sick, and the elderly and others who had waited till the last thing. And as a result, they would, in some cases, sprinkle water on them or pour some water upon that person and thought that would be just fine. And the immersion can be foregone. And so that was the result. But in the 12th century, it came to be practiced generally. But again, it took 1,200 years to develop that practice. Ask yourself the question, does the New Testament ever say, thou shalt not sprinkle or pour for baptism? No, it doesn't say that. But once again, if you ask yourself, on the other hand, do I want to be guilty of presumptuous sin with my God? Do I want to do something, anything, that would offend him in the way that these other cases were? The New Testament authorities describe people who are immersed, who are buried with him in baptism. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Colossians 2, verse 12. Who went down into the water and were baptized and came up out of the water. Acts chapter 8, verses 38, 39, and so forth. It is very clear that the word for baptism, baptizo, is a word in its raw form, not in the translations of it, modern translation, but in the Greek lexicon, means to immerse always. And, oh, by the way, there is a word in Greek for sprinkle. It's not immerse. There is a word for pour. It is not immerse. And so that makes it very clear to us that the very word that was chosen means to dip, plunge, or immerse in water.